Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. If you missed it, I dropped the second episode yesterday. It was a tribute to Gilbert Gottfried. I will talk about Gilbert in the second half of today's podcast. First half will be normal stuff. Trevor Noah, back hosting The Daily Show, is jealous that Will Smith got banned from the Oscars for 10 years. When I first read the headline, I thought this was the worst punishment ever. I was like, 10 years? The Oscars? This is ridiculous. But I got into the details, and I realized he gets to keep his Oscar, and he can still win Oscars even though he's banned. So in many ways, this isn't a punishment. This is a favor. Will Smith doesn't have to go to the ceremony. He doesn't have to dress up. He doesn't have to sit through a bunch of boring awards that he doesn't care about. He doesn't even have to pretend to be happy when he loses. I wish I could get banned from the Emmys. Every year I have to go and act like I might beat John Oliver. It's a nightmare. I also think they should have at least consulted Chris Rock before choosing the punishment, you know? Because if Will was still going to the Oscars, that's at least 4 hours where Chris Rock knows where he is. Now he could be anywhere. That's really funny. Speaking of 10 years, he said, "You realize by then, I Am Legend is just going to be real life." I don't think they should have banned Will Smith at all. I think they should have hired Will Smith to replace the Wrap It Up music at award shows. You know how quickly winners will finish their speeches when they see Will Smith watching them from the side of the stage. Great stuff all around. From the AV Club, one of the women who accused Louis C.K. of sexual harassment in 2017 has spoken out following his Grammy win. Julia Wolof spoke to Variety and said, "There's been zero change in the way comedy is run. Nobody cares. That's the message this sends. It really does. That's the truth. It's such BS. What's wrong with people? Wouldn't it be nice if people would not be rewarded for bad behavior? But what are you supposed to do? The people voted for him. I guess that's what happens when comedy and music comes together." Al.com said, "Hey, Bill Burr, you've said you hope cancel culture just goes away. Do you get the sense that it has it all? Or is it worse than ever?" Burr said, "Nah, I just think it's not sort of real. What it is there's so many places for people to look at things, get information. These news outlets have to get you to want to stop and watch. Two things make people stop and watch is something's funny or somebody fails at something, or if somebody gets in trouble. You do a show in front of 1,200, 1,500 people, 1,499 people have a good time. One person doesn't, and that becomes a story. That's not an accurate depiction of what's happening. I've had shows where I've gotten a partial standing ovation and someone in the crowd will sit there writing, 'He offended everyone,' just literally lying. I just continue to do stand-up the way I've always done it." The Hollywood Reporter says Will Ferrell will join Margot Robbie in the Barbie movie. No news yet on who Will will play. Hasan Minhaj will host King of the Court, discussing the ins and outs of the NBA playoffs with special guests. That'll be on Spotify. Amy Schumer's Life and Beth, renewed by Hulu. They'll get a second 10-episode season. Gonna head on over to Gossip Corner, but not for the usual reasons. Now, the headline, I'm not being catty here, I'm going somewhere with this. The headline is, Ali Wong and her husband are divorcing after 8 years of marriage. Okay, I'm not here to pile on that. But people dug in on it and analyzed her comedy in her special Don Wong, which came out this year. Wong joked that she thinks about cheating on her husband every 5 minutes. She added that she hasn't done it yet because no worthy opportunity has presented itself. She talked about how now that she's married and has two kids, she questions when she pressured her then-boyfriend to marry her. She went on a joke that she only got married because her comedic career was uncertain, so she trapped the guy. She then quipped that she's now made it on her own, so she just wants to be on my own. Funny jokes. During her routine, she said she would love to cheat on her husband, but she can't afford to get a divorce. I need my husband way more than he needs me. She also joked that her husband doesn't give an S about what she says during her stand-up routines because he's too busy living the life that I wanted for myself, including living in the house she paid for and telling time on the Rolex watch she bought for him. I'm sure those are all jokes. Just thought it was fun. Also, on Gossip Corner, Chris Rock's younger brother, Kenny, has signed a deal with Celebrity Boxing. He's going to fight this summer. He would like to fight Will Smith. No opponent has been named yet. He's calling out Will Smith. If Will Smith fights Chris Rock's brother in Celebrity Boxing, I will be sure to mention it. Don't worry about it. Speaking of Chris Rock, People says Chris was spotted walking around New York City, which is not crazy because I'm pretty sure that's where he lives. Chris Rock was dressed in cargo pants, a black t-shirt, a blue puffer jacket, and white sneakers. He finished the look in a pair of sunglasses, black headphones, and a black beanie. Take the break, come back and talk about Gilbert. So I have a couple of Gilbert stories coming up. On Saturday, I'm going to do an episode all about Gilbert Gottfried's stories. It's not what I usually call weekend filler, although it's the same concept as weekend filler. But I had plenty for the weekend, but I'm going to throw that out and do all Gilbert on Saturday. So in my many lives, I do this. I'm a producer of sorts, talk radio producer, podcast producer. I'm a professor. And over the years, I have always said to my staffs and my students, news has a habit of not breaking when you're sitting in the studio fully staffed. If you really pay attention, the amount of news that breaks on a summer Friday at like 4 p.m., news breaks on weekends, happens all the time. Well, it has now happened to me twice. On Tuesday, my son was like, hey, can you pick me up at college and let's hit the baseball game? And that was my plan. So I recorded Wednesday's podcast super early in the morning, much earlier than I usually do, and I headed out to meet my son. As I'm on the drive, I'm 2.5 hours from the house, and I start getting texts. Did you hear about Gilbert? And I know what that means. So as soon as you get that text, I know what it means. So I got a bunch of texts, but I'm hours from home, and I had spent good money on good tickets for the baseball game. So I'm like, all right, I can't blow off the baseball game. That would just be throwing a lot of money out. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to do an episode here. But the crazy part of it was the night Bob Saget died, I was also driving down to my son's college. And I got the text both for Saget and Gilbert on like the same stretch of highway. So that is now like comedian death interstate. It's really weird. Always bring your laptop everywhere if you host a podcast. I actually had the laptop with me. I just didn't have enough time to knock something out from a parking lot. Wanted to spend some time with my son. You know what I'm saying? Jeff Ross posted on Instagram. I got to say goodbye to Gil last night. He went quietly, surprisingly, I know, in his sleep from a rare muscle disease that's been bugging him for a while. He handled it all like a champ, performing until the end. Nobody made me laugh so hard. He was a wonderful pal and a great dad to young Max and Lily. My heart goes out to Dara, who took such great care of him. Although today is a sad day, please keep laughing as loud as possible so Gil and Bob and Norm can hear it. Bill Burr tweeted, rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried. First time I saw him live, he did his Jackie Kennedy bit. I mentioned that in the bonus episode yesterday. Jackie, do you remember where you were? And he did it in front of drunk Bruins fans at Knicks. Colin Quinn, the first comedian I saw who would go on and all the other comics would go in the room to watch. He talked about some of the bits. Boris Karloff being sarcastic. Humphrey Bogart at the post office, etc. Ben Stiller said, I don't think I ever laughed as hard as I did sitting on a flight to L.A. across from Gilbert once in the early 90s. He would do something funny and not stop till you stopped laughing. God, he was funny. So funny. Joe Rogan said, Gilbert was a brilliant comedian and a pleasure to be around. I feel very fortunate to have been able to spend time with him. Universally loved and respected by fellow stand-ups. He was a rare and exceptional individual. He'll be greatly missed. Howie Mandel, I lost a friend today. The sweetest and most hysterically funny person I can honestly say. No one else made me laugh harder. A great friend, husband, and father. My heart goes out to Dara and the kids. Weird Al said, absolutely gutted to hear about my friend Gilbert. One of the funniest guys ever. An enormous loss to the world of comedy. Much love to his friends and family. So as I mentioned, I will do Gilbert Gottfried stories on Saturday, but I saw this one in the Washington Post from 1991, and I'm like, I don't even want to wait the 2 days for this one. From 1991, the headline, Gilbert Gottfried is an acquired taste, sort of like school paste or lead paint chips. For more than 10 years, he's been doing the same inscrutable shtick, a grating, fidgety, absurdist stream of consciousness, and he keeps getting more and more famous, although so many people will tell you he's not funny, just annoying. Maybe seeing Gottfried's shtick in person is different from seeing it on TV or in the movies, you imagine. Maybe there's a depth, a something, a reason to not want to whack him in the face with a shovel. And occasionally there is. At the Comedy Cafe Friday night, the small, stooped comedian walked on stage, his face fixed in a squint, baring his top teeth, rubbing his head, rubbing his forehead, and did a long, off-putting bit built upon the crowd's welcome, dispassionate gratitude, metamorphosizing into dispassionate resentment. Out, out, get out. I want you out. You don't have to come here and stare at me when I'm trying to work. This next paragraph uses a word that has fallen out of fashion. I'm going to replace it with the phrase little person. There he was, talking about beating the hell out of Hervé Villechaize because he's a little person, and swinging Molly Ringwald's head around and around in a paper bag while she's screaming with glee, and what to do with the hard black wax from a wedge of party cheese. He told a few old-fashioned Polish jokes. He made a squid out of a paper napkin. He did a long riff on squid jokes, how the great old comics used to have lots and lots of squid jokes, and so on until it was over. A few audience members spent most of the set just staring at Gottfried. Others laughed a lot. succumbing to a comedic approach that seems to transcend the conscious mind altogether, going way beyond silliness even. For an average person, Gottfried's act inspires, in roughly equivalent portions, frustration, boredom, and hard, unexplainable laughter. That's from 1991 in the Washington Post. Wow. RobertEbert.com took another road, and they were talking about Gilbert's wonderful impressions, and then waxed poetically about Gilbert's podcast, of which I was a big fan. About the impressions, the Eberts write, oh, he would go high concept. Jackie Gleason movie reviews and film summaries as Rick in Casablanca. I know that you know that I know that you're getting on that plane. That's funny, even me doing it. The interchangeable voices of Tony Curtis and Gavin McLeod talking to each other over donuts and coffee. And a favorite, and also a favorite of mine, a soft-spoken old Groucho. I won't even attempt it. Look it up. It's worth it. Gilbert Gottfried, old Groucho. Look it up. But RogerEbert.com really loved the podcast. So did I. Arguably, Gottfried's greatest and most lasting contribution to popular culture are the 400-plus episodes, which he started in 2014. Legends and old-school entertainers with nothing to plug and left behind by the current crop of late-night TV shows they once frequented sit for more than an hour to share irresistible stories. Here's just a sampling. Now, if you're of a certain age, and I am, you'll be like, I know who these people are. And if you're younger, you're going to be like, who are these people? The people. Barbara Feldon, Larry Storch, Catwoman Lee Merriweather, and Julie Newmar, Dick Van Dyke, Janet Ann Gallo from The Ghost of Frankenstein, ventriloquist Willie Tyler and Lester, Frank Ferrante, who did a one-man stage show as Groucho Marx, Lee Grant and Mario Cantone, Gilbert's co-host Frank Santopadre said, we call it our Valentine to show business. These people gave me so much pleasure as a kid throughout my life, really, that it gives me pleasure to give them a new forum. It's a chance to say thanks and help introduce new generations to their body of work. I hope Frank continues the podcast. I know it won't be the same and it'll be a little funky, but please keep going, Frank. The Moon Tower Comedy Festival continues tonight at 9:30 if you're in Austin. Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher. There's even an official description. Do you want to hear it? Sure. Two incredible comedic forces came together when this pair met and married. Leggero's known for her acting and screenwriting. I know her as a comedian. While Kasher is a stand-up and podcasting powerhouse. That's right. If you'd like someone a little less famous, Leah Samson is at the Velve Comedy Lounge at 7 in Austin tonight. One of the funniest fashionistas in Austin. Samson is endlessly entertaining, full of energy, incredibly creative. And the Austin Chronicle says, I've never seen her do the same set twice. That's cool. 6:30, Parker Jazz Lounge. It's Dylan Sullivan. Sullivan's claim to fame is an incredible performance on Lights Out with David Spade. No offense, but like seven people saw that show. Using his boyish looks and infectious giggles to disarm you, Dylan Sullivan's not afraid to talk about racy topics. And at the Parker Jazz Lounge in Austin, 6:30 tonight, Brandi Davis. Davis lures you in with her self-depreciating wit and silliness before letting you know that she has a mad crush on your mom. That's pretty funny. I didn't see that coming. Pre-read the sentence, Johnny Mac. Brandi Davis is the host of a weekly open mic, Cackle Shack. She's quirky, queer, and isn't sure which pronouns to use, but tells us it's okay to use any of them. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. If you'd like to become a premium subscriber, that helps support the show. $5 a month, I'll appreciate that. And with that, you'll get early releases. For example, you could have heard this episode yesterday around 4:30 Eastern. For premium subscribers, the episodes are commercial free. So open up Apple Podcasts. They'll throw an option in front of your nose. Click on it. $5 a month. You got $5. See you tomorrow.